We're listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today will be a continuation of yesterday's show because the interest in, or reaction would probably be the better way, to FBI Director Comey's short, sweet, to the point press conference, where he never really took any questions, which is unusual for him. He usually takes questions and is very good in answering them. And I've had some time to think about it as well. I need to review the process because a lot of people, I think, are getting a little bit confused. Now, obviously, the people that follow this, whether they're talk show hosts, and many of them are attorneys, understand it. But I was listening to the reactions of people calling in, and the people are mad. There's no getting around that. And the reason is simple. The American people, deep down, believe in the rule of law and believe nobody is above the rule of law. And that's why what James Comey did, and I think he did it the best that he could under the circumstances, he made it abundantly clear to anyone that follows this that they have the evidence, more than enough evidence to convict her. And they have a number of criminal statutes, laws, to choose from. Now, what he did, and my only criticism of him, and it's not just me, it's a number of people, he could have picked from Title 18 U.S. Penal Code, Section 793 or 1924. Section 793 incorporates the Espionage Act, and the standard there, and it's a lower standard, is that of gross negligence. I think that's a slam dunk. Now, why you would choose 793 over 1924, you don't have to prove intent. Intent is a higher standard. Did the person intend to do what she was doing? Congress very deliberately, when they wrote the Espionage Act, and remember this was for World War One. Trying to think of the year. I want to say 1913, but I could be wrong on that date. But the law has been in effect. It's never been repealed. And it was designed to make sure that people that handle classified information, such as Hillary Clinton, but anyone in the military, that they understand if they, for example, I had a security clearance when I was working, when I was in the Air Force for 5 years. I also had a security clearance when I worked for the Fort Worth Division of General Dynamics. On the Air Force, I seldom, rarely, that's a better way to say, I rarely even saw a classified document. I didn't need to because I was in contracts for 3 years and financial management on the F-15 program for two, for a total of 5 years. But I did have to have a security clearance because at least probably once every 3 or 4 months, I would have the duty, and it was a weekly duty. At the end of the day, I would go around and check all the safes that had all the classified information. So you had to have a security clearance to do that, and what you were checking for to make sure the safe was closed. And all the time I did it, all the safes were closed. There were a few people in the building that had to have access to it, and they had to be careful, because if you leave it on your desk, go to the bathroom, and then someone passes by and finds it, you could be in trouble. And you knew you never took it home. You really had to be careful. And anyone in the military or intelligence whether it's for the armed forces or the various contractors that build the weapon systems, as well as the people that work for the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, and the State Department, know that when you're dealing with classified information, you got to follow certain protocols or procedures. And the one thing you don't do is take it home. Well, Hillary Clinton did that. It was sent to her. I bring this up because there are probably millions of people that are in the military or retired or, you know, left the service like I did after a little over 5 years, resigned my commission, that have experience of various kinds in dealing with classified documents. And to know it was serious, a serious matter. It could very much, if you did not follow the procedures, namely, let's say you left a classified document on your desk. See, besides looking at the safe, I was looking at the desk. I could get in trouble if one of the safes were left open or if someone left a classified document out and I didn't catch it. So I took it very, very serious because if I screwed up because someone else screwed up, yeah, it's going to hurt him in his performance evaluation, but it's also going to hurt me. So that is that's ingrained. And I didn't think I was above the law, but apparently Hillary Clinton, because she was the wife of Bill Clinton when he was elected president, has an attitude, a rather bad attitude. She was sloppy. I would say she was incompetent. What she did definitely meets the standards of gross negligence. Intent doesn't matter. You see, I believe that the FBI has enough evidence. They could not only indict her, get a conviction on both of it. They could get her on violations of 793F, which I read yesterday, or 1924. And I have at the very, very top both sections of the relevant law. And they're both, see, section 793 is gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. Section 1924 is unauthorized removal or retention of classified documents or material. She could be found guilty under both sections of the law. There are other sections of the law, too, that she's guilty of. And that's why I played the entire audio of the press conference, the statement that the FBI director read. Now, there's something very important, and it needs to be emphasized. The FBI, according to press reports, and according to the FBI director, spend a lot of time on this case. I've worked in government. A lot of people have worked in government. I worked with lawyers because I was in contracts, negotiating contracts, both in industry and in the Air Force. And I'm familiar with the law. I'm not a lawyer, though. But you're never going to spend this type of resources investigating if they didn't think they had a case. Ladies and gentlemen, they had a case. And if it was anybody else, they would have indicted her and convicted her. She's being protected by the President of the United States and his Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, as well as probably a number of career attorneys, prosecutors, that are also Democrats, that really your party affiliation shouldn't enter into this. So the mere fact that they spent so much time on this convinces me they had not only a case, they had a strong case. And if we had a Republican president and a Republican attorney general, I think the last minute or two of Comey's speech would have been different. He would have said, based on all the evidence that we've gathered, I'm recommending a criminal referral be submitted to the Department of Justice, requesting that they go forward with, go to the grand jury, get an indictment, and charge her. He didn't do that. And see, what is amazing to a lot of people is after spending upwards of 15 minutes going over all the evidence, he arrives at a conclusion that doesn't follow. Now, there's a lot of speculation, well, why did he do it? I mean, the logical conclusion was, I just gave it to you. Based on the evidence, I'm recommending that the Department of Justice pursue an indictment and charge Mrs. Clinton of enlist several laws that she's broken. He didn't do that. Somehow, somewhere, they got to him. It's called leverage, folks. And I need to remind you, the leverage does not mean it's necessarily something that James Comey. It could be something about his immediate family, his sons, his family, or relatives. Some way, somehow, they got to him. And they made it clear that they wanted an outcome. You couldn't miss it. the president has endorsed her. Now, I didn't have time to gather clips because I'm pressed on some other thing, other task, if you will. But I saw it again on the news. I was in the newsroom where the president says she's the most qualified person to be president, man or woman. I thought that was rich because he's probably the least qualified person to ever run for the presidency, and he has made a mess of it. It's a failed presidency, both domestically and abroad. I think it's a disaster. And you have to go far back in history to find a worse one. I think he's definitely worse than Jimmy Carter. I think he's the worst president. I think you would have to go back to FDR. Now, a lot of liberals, progressives, they think he was the, how should I say it, the greatest leader since Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. I don't. He messed up and prolonged the Great Depression. And I still think Roosevelt is worse. In recent memory, because most of the people that knew of Roosevelt are dead now. You're my parents, grandparents. They knew of and about FDR. And a lot of people loved him, and a lot of people hated him. And we really did not get out of the Great Depression until after World War II was completed. Oh, he solved the unemployment problem because he had about 9 to 10 million people who were either drafted or volunteered to serve in the armed forces or went to work in factories, not to build cars or appliances, but to build weapons, tanks, airplanes, ships. The reason I say it's after World War II is if you were living during the war, you had ration cards. You couldn't buy anything. You could save your money, and a lot of people did. And that's one of the reasons after the war was over, starting roughly around 1948, for a period of almost 25 years, we had a great expanding economy. And remember, it was a progressive and interventionist President Hoover, followed by Roosevelt, that wanted to expand the role, the functions of the federal government, and they both did, and it didn't work. And that's exactly what the current crop of progressives, both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, are about. And it's not working. They want to paint a pretty picture that the economy is doing quite well. I heard, or again, I don't have the clip, but he said, well, I've cut the unemployment rate in half. Technically, that's true. He doesn't tell you, instead of having a participation rate of somewhere between 60 and 67%, it's in 62, 63. It's been bouncing around. And what that means is there's over 10 million people, at least, and I think the number's closer to 20. The government, when it does its household surveys as well as establishment surveys, but mainly the household survey, to determine the unemployment rate, they ask you a series of questions. One is, are you employed? Obviously, if you say yes, you're employed. Now, many people are still employed part-time, but you're employed. Now, if you answer no, I'm unemployed, they ask you a few other questions. The main one is, have you looked for a job in the last 4 weeks? Now, if you answer that no, as far as the government is concerned, you're not unemployed. You're out of the labor force. Now, that might surprise you, but the reason they play this game is exactly what Barack Obama is doing, as well as Bill Clinton. And let's face it, Republicans do the same thing. They don't want to scare you. That the real unemployment number is at least 2 to 3 times that. I maintain it's somewhere between 20 and 25%. It's not at 5%. And the main reason is when people answer that question honestly, they don't know how the government puts them in different categories. They say, well, you know, I was looking for a job and been looking for over a year. In the last couple of weeks, I've just given up. I'm so discouraged. I send out resumes and no one is asking me for an interview. And even if I get an interview, there are dozens, if not hundreds of people. And even then, I don't get a job. So I didn't look the last couple of weeks. Well, as far as the government is concerned, you're not unemployed. You're not participating, and that's a decision on your part. Now, if you answer, oh, yeah, I have applications in. I've been looking for a job for over a year. I'm still looking. I've been looking the last 4 weeks. Then you're considered unemployed. Now, other radio show hosts emphasize that somewhere between 94 and 95 million people are not in the labor force, and that's true, and that's at the highest levels. And I'll tell you, if Hillary Clinton should get elected president, she's not going to do much better. I think if she were elected, we'd be over 100 million, not in the labor force. U.S. economy is on the brink of a recession, and I'm not predicting one, nor do I hope we go into one, but it's touch and go. You see, you want people to have full-time jobs, good-paying full-time jobs with a nice benefit package, namely health insurance, retirement plan. That's what the American people want. They want everybody that really wants a job to find a good-paying permanent job. And for the last 7.5 years, actually, it started under Bush. It's been very, very difficult, especially for young people, but it's at all ages. First, to find a permanent full-time job. So many people settle for part-time jobs, or they can't find any job at all. I always get a laugh what the Democratic Party thinks the answer is to increase the minimum wage to $15. I was sitting in the computer lab last night, and a friend of mine was going on about this, and I said, well, what do you think is going to happen should a state pass a $15 an hour minimum wage? Let me tell you what's going to happen. Let's say you have 6 employees. And they're making minimum wage, or slightly above, let's say $8. They're all making $8 an hour, trying to keep it simple. And a state passes a $15 an hour law. What do you think that small business owner is going to do? He's going to fire 3 of those employees because he can't afford them. He's going to keep, if he's wise, his hardest working employees, because now those 3 people are going to do the jobs of 6 people. And the 3 people that are laid off, their minimum wage is now 0. You see, every time the minimum wage is raised, assuming it's raised above the going market rate in a community, and it varies across the country, we have a spike up in teenage unemployment. And remember, the minimum wage, again, traces back to FDR. One of the mistakes FDR did was try to keep prices up and wages up. So if you had a job in a depression, in particular, when prices were going down, you were very fortunate. You were doing well. And there were a lot of people did well during the Great Depression if they had a job. But they were working hard because they were easy to replace. And the answer that the Democrats are putting out there is the answer to our troubles, the silver bullet, if you will, is to raise the minimum wage. No, it's not. I said you're only worth what someone is willing to pay you. And that depends on a lot of things. The skills you have, the job experience you have, the talents. And if you're just starting out on the workforce and have little or no work experience and a limited amount of skills, you're not worth $15. You're certainly not worth $25. When I get into debates on this, I always say, well, why stop at 15? Why don't we make it 25? You keep going on and on about a minimum wage, a living wage. Well, $25 an hour. Assuming you work 2,000 hours a year is $50,000. Most people today would consider that an average paying job. And that's about very close to where it is, both average and median, a little below it. They quickly back off that. Now, some will buy, let's make it 25. I use that for a simple reason. What does that mean? People understand that small businesses, and that's where the majority of new jobs are created, new small business owners, risk their money, their time. We call them entrepreneurs. Start a new business. Think they have a new idea. Many fail, but a few really succeed. But it's working, not every hour of the day, but they're thinking about how to run a business, how to be successful, how to get new clients, new customers. And they have to compete. And that's the one thing that a lot of people don't understand. There's competition out there, not only amongst workers that are looking for jobs, labor, but also amongst businesses. And price is one area that businesses compete. And if you put out you might be producing and have a terrific product, but if it's overpriced, you're not going to sell it. And that's what happens. Or if the economy goes into recession, you've produced a lot, you have inventory, and now you can't sell it. You see, there are risks. And when you have the government intervening in the economy, and that's what the problem is today, we have two political parties, the Republican and Democratic Party, and they both are for big government. Big government is the problem. We didn't have these problems when we had small government and when we didn't have income taxes. And the only way the federal government to raise revenue was tariffs, but we had low tariffs. The answer is not raising the minimum wage. The answer is to have economic policies that provide a very strong economic incentive for people to start businesses and for people that are already in business to expand their businesses by investing in their business. In other words, not only hiring new people, increasing their inventory, expanding their operations, new plant, equipment, vehicles, computers, software, whatever they need to expand their business. That's how you get a booming economy. You don't get a booming economy by running, both under Democrat and Republican administrations, year after year after year, deficits, where the government spends more money than it collects in the hundreds of billions of dollars. The problem, the central problem of the United States, but it's not confined to the United States. The United States has become, sad to say, a warfare and welfare state. A warfare and welfare state. And because of that, taxes have had to go up because spending is out of control. But it's so much out of control that they've gone beyond just borrowing money, and that's out of control too. For a period of years, they were printing it or creating it. Federal Reserve was. And if we go into another recession, they're going to continue doing that. And the first sign of this will be when we have another deficit of over $1 trillion. It's running about 500 to 600 billion. And that reminds me, I need to double check. If you want to know the exact number, go Google monthly Treasury report or statement, MTS, and you can find out what the exact number is. And the fiscal year, this fiscal year for 2016 ends September 30th. And the deficit probably about at least $500 billion. And it's heading back up to over a trillion. A trillion is 1,000 billion, where a billion is 1,000 million. We're talking huge, huge deficits. That's just the symptom, though, that we have grown the size of the state or the government beyond the capability of the people to support it. You shouldn't have to borrow money, and you certainly shouldn't have to print money to pay your bills, and that's what we've been doing. You see, across the world, especially in Europe, Japan, and the so-called industrialized nations, Germany, France, United Kingdom, you have a welfare state. They have a little warfare state, but it's primarily a welfare state. Economists call it a mixed economy. It's part private sector. I sort of agree that I don't like the term private sector. I think a better way to describe it, you have the producers, the entrepreneurs and the people that work for them produce. What do they produce? They produce goods and services that people want and need, primarily wants, though. And you have scarce economic resources. That's the economic problem is human wants are insatiable, unlimited, but our resources, our economic resources, are scarce. So if you're in business and want to expand it, you need to make sure that the price of your goods and services covers your cost. And to the extent that it does and you're successful, you can grow the business. This is rather fundamental stuff, but it's fundamental economics that a lot of economists as well as politicians have forgotten. The career politician thinks this can go on forever. It can't. The word is unsustainable. I don't like that term. I need to come up with a better one. It's going to end, and it's going to end badly, because we need leadership that will rein in and really downsize and limit the federal government or the state. That's why I don't have a candidate or a party anymore, because both parties are big government parties. Now, the Democratic Party is very much a lost cause. They want to grow the government much larger. They don't know what they're doing is ruining the country. And they play the game of what I call Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me and I'll give you some free stuff. And there's a long list of free stuff. And it works. People get sucked in by free stuff. Ooh, look at what I got. Ooh, 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 ooh. Never thinking is, well, who's paying for this? Well, the answer is you are. There's no such thing as a free lunch, and there's no such thing as free stuff. You ultimately pay for it, and usually you pay a lot more if you get the government involved. Because governments don't like competition. They like monopolies. The reason the United States is so successful, we've had a lot of competition. And a lot of people took the risk, started businesses. Many fail. Some succeed, and some succeed beyond even their imagination or greatest dreams. But to do that, you need an environment where the government encourages that, what I call positive economic incentives. And you need to fundamentally change our tax system. Because if you think about it, especially the federal government, where do you interact with the federal government? The answer is very simple: when you pay your income taxes. And the problem is, and I know this because I was in the financial services industry, the people that get hardest hit are the middle class. About half the population pays little or no income taxes. And I have no problem with that. But they all pay, if they have a job, payroll taxes for Social Security and Medicare and disability. That's their biggest tax they pay. The problem is we have the wrong economic incentives. We have a tax system that costs, and it's a drag, and the number keeps going up, about $500 billion a year and going up. That's a waste of money. That's a lot of money, and that's about what the deficit will be this year. We need to go to a broad-based consumption tax, and guess what? There's no candidate proposing that. That's why you got to get taxes right. And unfortunately, we have a lot of lawyers that, not economists, not that I would say economists is the first place to start, but you have a bias in favor of the status quo, and the status quo means the income tax. It needs to be abolished and replaced by a broad-based consumption tax. I'm emphasizing this because if you truly want a booming economy, and we could have a booming economy fairly quickly, you got to have the right economic policies. And across the board, they're keeping the income tax. Republicans right now are rewriting the income tax code. Now, I, at one time, how should I say this? I was like a guy would call up and say, well, here's my idea about changing the income tax. And for a while, about 20 years ago, I was all for the so-called flat tax. And several candidates this time were for a flat tax. The problem there, you're still keeping the income tax. You're still keeping the IRS and the code in effect. And the problem with that is the first time the Democrats gain control of the House and the Senate, what are they going to do? They're going to up the rates. They don't up the revenue, but they up the rates. Obama has this hang-up, and I've noticed lawyers have this problem. There's some that understand elasticity or the responsiveness. You can make it 100%, and you're not going to get more revenue. Because if you make it 100%, who's going to work? The answer is not many people. The higher and higher you make the tax burden, and for many people today, it's over 50%, especially when you add local taxes in. Some people are paying 60%. You have to get the tax system right, both on the federal level and locally. If you get that wrong, you end up looking like California, Illinois, and maybe even Texas if it keeps going. It's absolutely essential to get that right, and there are no candidates that have it right. Some have better plans than others, but if you ask the average voter, they don't know what Donald Trump's plan is. You can go to his website if you want to read it. It's not bad, but it's not a game changer. It's going in the right direction, lower, but it's not a game changer, especially if you want to make America great and bring back not only the profits that our own U.S. multinational corporations have earned, but also getting investment money from all over the world. That's why I'm a big advocate of the consumption tax. I'm bringing this up because we have an election. I could never vote for Hillary Clinton. It gets back to what I've been saying for over 2 years. This election is a trust issue. It's a trust issue because they were conned by Barack Obama. Most people now have got over him, and they don't listen to him. The problem is that has not sunk in. You can always give a speech at a community college where you might have a friendly audience. Might. In other words, not a tough audience. Not a critical audience. They don't believe Barack Obama. They don't trust him because he lied to us. See, that's why I call him the lying lunatic left. They have to lie. It's not that they want to lie, but some of them are good at it and some of them are okay. They can't tell you what they're about because if they did really told the truth, they know they would not be elected. So they lie. Hillary Clinton lies, Bill Clinton lies, and so does Barack Obama. Some better than others. But the majority of the American people have caught on. And it's not just Democrats, it's Republicans as well. You see, they're into our career politicians. Their first priority is to first get elected and keep getting reelected. In other words, it's power. They're not producers. They're predators. And we're the prey. And they're hunting us. If you look at the history of mankind, it's the history of warfare, where the ones that win the war enslave the people that they defeat, take over their lands, their goods, and that's the way it's been throughout history. And the majority of people, until really about 200 years ago, 250, it was subsistence. You wouldn't want to live that. And the very few that had the lion's share were largely soldiers, warriors, however you want to describe them, that did the pillaging. Now we have the government, and they are pillaging. Taking half of what you earn is pillaging. And they stay in power by making the state bigger and bigger. And as a result, as the state gets bigger, what happens? We have corruption of a political class by the owners of this country, the founders, executives of your large corporations that buy politicians. You see, I don't blame the politicians. They are corrupt, and they have largely been bought and paid for. But nothing fundamentally is going to change until we have a new political party. That's why I've given up on the Republican Party. Because if they truly had the interest of the American people, would we have open borders? No, we would not have open borders. Are you kidding me? I'm for competition, but no nation opens its borders and gets invaded by 30 to 50 million people. So getting back to what Comey did. He has the evidence that could put Hillary Clinton in jail. It's not going to happen. If you're a long listener of the show, you know my opinion is, especially if Hillary Clinton loses the election, which I think she will, that prior to leaving office, Barack Obama will give her a full and complete absolute pardon, and Hillary Clinton will accept it, willingly, begging it. She'll be lucky if he does it. I think he's going to do it, though, because they both have leverage on each other. So it's an insurance policy that she will keep quiet, and that's why he will grant her a pardon. I don't think it matters whether she wins or loses. He much prefers that she win. He is all in for Hillary Clinton. It's not his choice, but they have leverage on each other. And they know if Donald Trump wins, and I think he will, but it's not a sure thing, that they will appoint a attorney general. Some think it will be Chris Christie. I don't know. It could be Ted Cruz. It could be a number of people. There are excellent prosecutors out there, and some of them could run the Justice Department quite well, and they're going to go after Hillary Clinton. If you were listening closely, what didn't you hear yesterday? It was all about Hillary Clinton, but guess what? There are about half a dozen, maybe more. I'm not privy to this investigation. But think about it. There are at least half a dozen people that were involved. He didn't say anything about them. You notice that? Some are still working for the government. And I thought he made it very clear he will go after them because they broke the law. It's very much a double standard. Now, obviously, if the Democrats win and Hillary wins, those people are protected. But if Donald Trump wins, those people are not protected. Many of them will probably retire if they're approaching retirement, and then find that a lot of their retirement money is going to go paying lawyer bills. Because the people, her media advisors, were breaking the law. You see, if you're dealing with highly classified documents, I'm talking secret, top secret, they are in a self, they're distributed in a self-contained manner. You can't. If I were looking at a screen and it was a system supporting the distribution of classified documents, there's no way that machine can send those documents over the internet that you use and I use. See, someone, and the someone is Hillary Clinton's immediate staff, had to, looking at a screen, type the information in these documents and then put it in an email. That, by the way, is a violation of the law. What I'm saying is these, and he's identified at least 110, actually more, but 110 solid. We're not talking an accident or a mistake. It's a pattern. And I'll include this in my notes for the program. Michelle Malkin wrote a little article. A mistake is oops, 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 110 times is not a mistake. It's called a pattern of criminal behavior. It's very much intentional. People don't intentionally make mistakes. They smart try to avoid them. But we're all human and we're all going to make mistakes. But not 110. And 110 is understating it. Her staff knowingly, probably out of or her orders, trying to please the boss, were breaking the law. Knowingly breaking the law. They intended to break the law because they were engaged in criminal activity, namely the distribution of classified information under using the web. That's gross negligence, but it's also criminal intent. It wasn't an accident. You had to intentionally prepare it so it could go over the internet. Someone had to do that. You notice he never talked about the other people involved. And if I were them, I would worry. See, Hillary Clinton hired several of them to be her attorneys because you notice another thing, there are a lot of attorneys here thinking that's going to protect her. No, it's not. If there is a Republican in the White House, and if Donald Trump appoints an attorney general and makes it very clear, if crimes were committed, I want these people prosecuted, you're going to have a lot of people, we're probably talking at least a dozen, going to jail. And they should. They should. This needs to be stopped. They need to be made an example of, but the person that truly needs to be made an example of is Hillary Clinton. I touched upon this yesterday. I thought short term, this definitely benefits Hillary Clinton. It does benefit her because she skated once again from justice being done. She believes she's above the law and will get away with it. That's what she believes. And so far, she's 100% right. But I like to say what goes around comes around. And there's legal courts, but there's also the court of public opinion. And in listening to people calling up, you could hear it in their voice, the outrage. Now, you need to be careful. Only a small percent of listeners to radio shows actually call up, and you shouldn't generalize based on that. But I'm still confident that the majority of the American people believe in the rule of law and believe nobody is above that. And that includes Hillary Clinton. James Comey made it abundantly clear that Hillary Clinton was lying, repeatedly lying to the American people. Now, her supporters, especially the big lie media, they're already saying, this is yesterday's news. This is I heard it on before I walked in. Is this a Republican story? No, it's not a Republican story. It's not a Democratic Party story. It's an American people story. And the American people are rebelling. They're in revolt. They're angry. They're angry at the political elites, the career politicians. They're also angry at the donor class corrupting them. They know what's going on, and they also know they have very, very little power. But the one thing they still have is that right to vote. And many people that don't particularly like Trump are going to vote for him because they don't like Hillary Clinton, and they don't like anyone to be above them and above the law. She will lose in the court of public opinion. The verdict will be given on Election Day. I'm hoping that Donald Trump gets elected. He's not my first, second, or third choice. But I'd vote for a successful businessman any day of the week over a corrupt, lying politician. I call her the Clipper. She's a crooked, lying, incompetent, progressive politician that's an eugenics racist. And for those that are puzzled by that last two, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and many of her supporters are pro-abortion, and they're very much big supporters of Planned Parenthood. If you check the origins of Planned Parenthood, you can trace it back to Margaret Sanger, who was a big activist in the eugenics movement. At its core was racist. They thought that whites were superior to blacks, and they wanted over time to see a shrinking black population. Ideally, they wished they would go back to Africa. They were racist, and they're still racist. The majority of the babies that are killed in Planned Parenthood clinics, as well as other abortion clinics, are blacks and Hispanics and poor whites, but a disproportionate percentage of their in relation to their percentage of the population. 2 to 3 times more abortions than the percentage of blacks and whites in the population. That's why these clinics are either located in black or Hispanic neighborhoods or on the borders of black and Hispanic neighborhoods. They kill black babies. They kill Hispanic babies. They kill white babies. But they prefer to kill blacks and Hispanics because they're a burden on society. They're racist, but they project that by calling other people racist. In other words, they accuse other people what they are, at their core, a racist. So Hillary Clinton is the Clipper, the crooked, lying, incompetent, progressive politician, eugenics racist. And the Clipper Hillary is sinking. Slowly but surely will be sinking as we have more and more links as to what really happened in the Justice Department and in the FBI. I think the FBI had the goods on her, had what many would say would be an open and shut case, especially if they went and prosecuted her on violations of the Espionage Act. There were perjury, lying to federal agents. There are a whole host of charges. Comey didn't mention the people around Hillary Clinton that, for all practical purposes, were engaged in a conspiracy, wholesale violations of the law, truly obstructing justice. She's guilty as hell, folks. She's the last person, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, that you want in the Oval Office. She is not, to quote Barack Obama, the most qualified man or woman that could be president. She lacks integrity. She lacks character. Even Democrats don't like her or trust her. She's been wanting to be president really since she was in college. She is very much part of the lying, lunatic leftists that today are running the country, are running the state. And they know that their time is running out. And there will be a day of reckoning. Bills will come due, and people that have been violating the law might find themselves in court defending themselves against violation after violation of the law. Hillary Clinton's immediate staff that enabled Hillary to get classified information, knowing what they were doing, was very much against the law. Anyone else doing it would be in jail or facing charges. Didn't talk about that. You notice that? There's another thing that he didn't talk about. He didn't talk about the Clinton Foundation and the strong suspicion that we have public corruption. Namely, bribes were being paid and laundered through the Clinton Foundation, as well as through excessive fees for speeches. Because, see, in other foreign countries, bribery is common. It's a way of doing business. Not in the United States, and not in many countries, but in undeveloped countries, so-called the unindustrialized, better, that'd be a better way to say it. Corruption's the name of the game, and that means bribery. They know how that is played, and they know how to bribe people. And Hillary and Bill Clinton encouraged it and got the bribes. That's why they're rich. They didn't open a business. Instead, they were selling you and me out, both in terms of open borders, access to the United States markets, and making sure that any contracts that where the State Department had a say, that certain foreign governments got those contracts. You notice that wasn't addressed. He didn't say anything about that. And I think part of this investigation is of the Clinton Foundation, but Comey wisely was silent about this. You see, there are other shoes that are going to drop. Right now, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and many in the Democratic Party think she's going to be the next president. And that's also true about the career prosecutors in the Justice Department. You see, any corrupt or career Democratic politician in the Justice Department, they're not going to recommend that they indict Hillary Clinton. Are you out of your mind? They want to keep their jobs. Gets right down to that. This is their career. And they actually support this party and this woman. And I think James Comey knew this. He wasn't getting any encouragement from the president or the attorney general, just the opposite. And I need to conclude by making the point that I started out to make in the beginning. James Comey does not make the decision whether or not to indict Hillary Clinton. He's head of the investigative organization that gathers the evidence. And based on that evidence, which I think is overwhelming, he refers and submits the evidence to the Justice Department. And here's the key point. It is the Justice Department, headed by Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and the career politicians that are evaluating the evidence, they have the final say. They determine whether or not there's enough evidence to go forward to a grand jury and get an indictment and charge her and pursue it. It's not his decision. And he knows this, and prosecutors know this. My only two criticisms of Comey was mixing the two laws. See, I think they have an easy case under gross negligence. It's a lower standard. Anyone that knows anything about how classified documents are handled, no, she's guilty. Open and shut. And not only her, but the people that involved in this are guilty. They were engaged in criminal behavior. They were engaged in a conspiracy. And it only takes one person informing on the others. And that may or may not happen. But if you're facing 10 years minimum, maybe 20 or 30 years in prison, because we're not talking one count, we're talking dozens of counts. Each count is 10 years with large fines. This will wipe you out. You will be in prison for a long time, and you won't have a dime when you get out. And you certainly won't have a job. You see, that's how you get one or more people to inform. Some say rat out. No, they're informing, telling what they know in exchange for immunity. I'll tell you everything you want to know, but I need an ironclad agreement that you won't prosecute me. General immunity, signed, sealed by a judge. In exchange for that, whoever gets it, and I think one or more people will, they, if they agree to that, have to tell all. Because if they don't, they're risking going to prison, even with the immunity. James Comey didn't get into that. He doesn't have to. The only thing he had to do, and he didn't even have to have a press conference, could have done a press release, have an executive summary of what he found, and referred this to the Justice Department in a criminal referral. Why didn't he do that? He knew what was going to happen. The fix was in from President Obama and Lynch and the Democrat prosecutors and the Justice Department. It was going nowhere because they'll make the case, well, you don't have enough evidence. You have an improved intent. Well, you don't have to. And the Espionage Act gross negligence is enough. That's why Congress wrote the law that way. You see, Hillary intentionally did it the way she did it. She was covering up her crimes. Oh, there's plenty of intent. Now, you can get her under the easier or lower standard of gross negligence, but you can also get her with intent because she destroyed evidence. And she lied and lied and lied. And if you, the judge will point this out, you can assume that she's lying again. And she was willingly knew she was engaged in criminal behavior. She was not only obstructing justice, covering up her own crimes. She's guilty of sin. And now back to the elections. Donald Trump needs to focus like a laser beam on Hillary Clinton. Do not get distracted, Mr. Trump. That's what they're trying to do today. Again, I was in the newsroom listening to the news, and I heard Hillary Clinton going on and on about how Donald Trump took money out of Atlantic City. Well, excuse me. There's a big difference between what you did, which are crimes, and what is business activity. If you're successful, you better watch your budget, you better watch the revenue, and you better protect yourself. And Donald Trump did what any businessman would do, successful one. Donald Trump will probably answer her, but if he's smart, he'll have a very succinct, to-the-point answer. And after giving it, he should go on the attack. Attack, attack, attack. She's a corrupt. I know Donald has, Mr. Trump has emphasized crooked. And maybe he's right. And second thought, I think he is. I prefer corrupt, though. She is a crooked, lying, incompetent, progressive politician, eugenics racist. We need to sink Hillary. We need to sink Clipper Hillary. Sink the Clipper, sink the Clipper, sink the Clipper. And that's what's going to happen. She's going to slowly sink in the poll. Today, the big lie media can rig the polls. You overweight it in terms of Democrats. But people are getting wise to that. Honest polls, I think it's dead even. Frankly, I think Donald Trump is ahead, especially after yesterday. Donald Trump will be rising in the polls as Hillary Clinton is sinking in the polls. And no amount of gamesmanship by big lie media is going to save her. You can get the polls to really almost get the results you want. You're only fooling yourself, though. There's only so many Democrats, so many Republicans, and so many independents, as well as other parties. If you overweight it in Hillary's favor, the Democrats' favor, guess what? She's leading. She's leading. She's leading. No, she's not. You got the result you wanted. But who's going to trust big lie media? I don't trust them. I know Trump doesn't trust them. They are in the tank. They favor Hillary Clinton. That is their candidate, Hillary Clinton. And the ones that are honest know, and this is the word that's being repeated on all the talk shows and many of the news shows, she's damaged. Oh, yes, she is damaged. Irreparably damaged. Maybe she dodged a bullet in terms of being indicted. but she can run, but she can't hide from the American people. The American people, whether they want Donald Trump or not, are going to vote against Hillary Clinton. I think the turnout will be large, and it's to vote her out of office in the sense that they don't want our White House, the American people's White House. They don't want the Clipper in the White House. It really dishonors the White House, the presidency, no matter what your politics. If I were a Democrat, and my family largely was, they couldn't vote for her. See, both parties have had a long history of corruption. It's nothing new, folks. This has been going on since colonial times. What's new is the sheer audacity, the scale, the arrogance of it, and the fact that the Democratic Party thinks they can get this woman elected. You see, I want her to get the nomination, and I want her to be defeated. That's the payback, folks. And I think a lot of people are going to be pushing back. Call it revenge. They know they've been lied to by both parties. They know they've been deceived by both parties, misled by both parties. And they see what's truly a miscarriage of justice here. The irony is the Democrats are always going on about social justice, so-called social justice warriors. There is no justice if Hillary Clinton and the people that enable this get away with it. And it's very dangerous for this reason. It sets a tone. You notice the press and some commentator, they're always talking about tone. Does he have the right tone? Hillary Clinton doesn't have the right tone. Neither does Obama. They're tone deaf. The Democratic Party would do itself a big favor if it picked someone else. They're not. She's going to get nominated, and she's going to lose. And the American people will decide the case on Election Day. The Democrats and some Republicans play what I call, and others have called, identity politics. Vote for me. I'm the black guy. I'm like you. Vote for me. Hillary is playing the woman's card. I'm a woman. We haven't had a woman president. Vote for me. The trouble with identity politics is a lot of people, that's how they vote. But it cuts both ways. If you have a well-deserved reputation of being crooked, a liar, lying, incompetent, self-identified progressive politician, big supporter of Planned Parenthood, yes, you're eugenics racist. That's an identity, folks. That's an ID. ID. Irreparably damaged. ID. That's Hillary Clinton's problem. She has been irreparably damaged. She's the Clipper. And the Clipper Hillary is sinking and will be sinking slowly but surely in the polls and in the minds and the hearts of the American people. Oh, they want justice, and they believe nobody should be above the law. And certainly, given what Hillary Clinton did, that woman should be above the law and skate again after scandal after scandal. I think James Comey, in his 15-minute summary, gave an excellent review of the evidence. It's not a little evidence. It's overwhelming evidence. I would venture to say that any halfway decent, competent prosecutor can get a conviction on one or more counts. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk, but there's rather convincing evidence here. A pattern of behavior, criminal behavior, gross negligence, as a minimum, I think intentionally. I think you can get her on several laws, including those that require a standard of intent to prove. I don't have time to play the whole thing, and I wasn't going to play the whole thing, but about the last 5 minutes of James Comey's statement.
The use of unclassified systems in particular was generally lacking in the kind of care for classified information that's found elsewhere in the U.S. government. With respect to potential computer intrusion by hostile actors, we did not find direct evidence that Secretary Clinton's personal email domain, in its various configurations since 2009, was hacked successfully. But given the nature of the system and of the actors potentially involved, we assess we would be unlikely to see such direct evidence. We do assess that hostile actors gained access to the private commercial email accounts of people with whom Secretary Clinton was in regular contact from her personal account. We also assess that Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email domain was both known by a large number of people and readily apparent. She also used her personal email extensively while outside the United States, including sending and receiving work-related emails in the territory of sophisticated adversaries. Given that combination of factors, we assess it is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email account. So that's what we found. Finally, with respect to our recommendation to the Department of Justice, in our system, the prosecutors make the decisions about whether charges are appropriate based on evidence that the FBI helps collect. Although we don't normally make public our recommendations to the prosecutors, we frequently make recommendations and engage in productive conversations with prosecutors about what resolution may be appropriate, given the evidence. In this case, given the importance of the matter, I think unusual transparency is in order. Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. Prosecutors necessarily weigh a number of factors before deciding whether to bring charges. There are obvious considerations like the strength of the evidence, especially regarding intent. Responsible decisions also consider the context of a person's actions and how similar situations have been handled in the past. In looking back at our investigations into the mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts. All the cases prosecuted involved some combination of clearly intentional and willful mishandling of classified information, or vast quantities of information exposed in such a way as to support an inference of intentional misconduct, or indications of disloyalty to the United States, or efforts to obstruct justice. We do not see those things here. To be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person who engaged in this activity would face no consequences. To the contrary, those individuals are often subject to security or administrative sanctions, but that's not what we're deciding now. As a result, although the Department of Justice makes final decisions on matters like this, we are expressing to Justice our view that no charges are appropriate in this case. I know there will be intense public debate in the wake of this recommendation, as there was throughout the investigation. What I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly, competently, and independently. No outside influence of any kind was brought to bear. I know there were many opinions expressed by people who are not part of the investigation, including people in government, but none of that mattered to us. Opinions are irrelevant, and they were all uninformed by insight into our investigation because we did our investigation the right way. Only facts matter. And the FBI found them here in an entirely apolitical and professional way. I couldn't be prouder to be part of this organization. Thank you very much.
He didn't take any questions. He normally does. He's known for that, and he's known for being able to handle that. A couple of points. He reminded us that it's really the federal prosecutors that are assigned to this case that make the determination. No one is challenging him or the people involved in the investigation of not doing a professional job. You see, for 13 minutes, roughly, he gave a summary that the conclusion, and everyone was expecting this that heard it, it's almost everyone, but I would come to the conclusion, as other people, that he's going to send over to the Justice Department a criminal referral, yet his conclusion doesn't follow the first 13 minutes. He's laid out the case, deliberately laid out the case. And overwhelming is the evidence. I agree. Facts matter. Evidence matter. You have the facts. You have the evidence. What you don't have, or he does not have, is the leverage. The leverage is against him in the form of the president and the attorney general and the career politicians and prosecutors in the Justice Department. He knew that they wanted Hillary Clinton as their candidate. He couldn't buck that. So he did the second best thing. I don't think he did it flawlessly. I think he made a few mistakes. But he laid it out so the American people understand she's guilty. The evidence supports an indictment. So if you can't get it in court, you get it at an election. And that's the only recourse that the American people have now. Because should a Republican president be elected, and I think one will, and he appoints an attorney general and goes after her, and ladies and gentlemen, they still can make the case against Hillary Clinton and all her staff that were involved in this. Other shoes are going to drop. Hillary Clinton is running to keep out of jail. She better run real hard. And Obama better run real hard. because I think Donald Trump is going to give them a run for their money and is going to lay this out in glorious detail and hopefully not go off message. Next show, I'm going to get into VP, vice presidential, the list of candidates and who I think he should pick. And if you're a regular listener, I think you know. But even more so, he needs to pick a VP that can stay on message, knows how prosecutors work, and could try every day Hillary Clinton to keep this in the forefront of this campaign. Attack, attack, attack. Sink the Clipper, the crooked, lying, incompetent, progressive politician, eugenics racist. Sink the Clipper, sink the Clipper, sink the Clipper. I like that chant because it describes exactly the irreparable damage that's been done to Hillary Clinton. The American people will get a vote, innocent or guilty. Are you for Hillary Clinton? Then say she's innocent. If you vote against her, you're saying she's guilty. It's up to you, the American people, to make that decision. And hopefully it will be an informed decision. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.